So it's 1923. And there's a man named Norbert Chopik. And he's been to the United States, and he has converted to Unitarianism after years and years of searching. Started out as a Baptist, proselytizing and roaming all over the countryside in Prague. But finally, he decided he was a Unitarian. He liked their focus on reason and the inclusivity of all. And so he started a congregation there in Prague. And guess what? It grew. And it grew. And people were in desperate need of this message. And they came. And they came from different faith traditions. They came from a variety of traditions that were there in that area, but that weren't quite serving them anymore. And so they came to this big church, this big Unitarian church, as it grew. And they loved it, all except for one thing. It was a little dry. It was lecture-based. It was informed. It was reasoned. But it was lacking that spark. It was lacking ritual. It was lacking the beauty that they had seen, the pageantry in some of their faith traditions that they had left behind. And they didn't want to go back to those, but they wanted something. So Norbert Chopik wasn't quite sure what to do. And so he began to think. And the more he thought, the more he realized that some kind of ritual needed to be added to what they were doing. But it couldn't be something brought in from another tradition. It couldn't be a bread and wine communion or something like that, because that was something that wouldn't serve everyone in this theologically diverse community. So what could he do? So he's staring out the window one day, and what does he see but all the beautiful flowers that are growing on the hillside? And he thinks, these flowers are so representative of this congregation. They're different colors and varieties. They come from different places. They're diverse. But when you bring them together, there is a beauty there. And so that's where he got his idea. And he invited everyone in his congregation to come that Sunday morning, come and bring a flower from their own garden, and put it in a communal vase up on the altar. And then when the time for the ritual came, they were to go forward and take a flower that someone else had brought in recognition that we are all connected and we can share in the beauty that one another brings to the world. And this was wildly successful and became part of this congregation's experience over 100 years ago, 1923. So as the years went by, and this congregation continued to grow and grow, it became a liberal voice in what ultimately was Nazi-occupied Czechoslovakia. And at that point, as Norbert Chopik would preach, there would be Nazi guards stationed at every door. But he got creative. Because this congregation understood metaphor, right? They'd been doing metaphor for a long time, so he could say things to inspire that congregation to tap into their own resilience so that whatever they may face going forward, they were able to offer quiet but courageous and strong resistance. And they did. And it took a long time for those guards at the door to catch on to what was happening. But eventually they did. And like so many clergy at the time, Chopik was ultimately taken to a concentration camp, Dachau, and put in an area with other clergy. But as bleak as this part of the story is, and it is bleak, I want you to know that those who survived that camp said that this man, our Unitarian forebear, Norbert Chopik, kept those people in that area alive with his strength of spirit, with his sense of inspiration, with his ability to still tap into the resilience of the human spirit, even under deplorable conditions. It is said, and the story may be apocryphal, but it is said that he led a flower communion there at the camp and that they used rocks and sticks and weeds instead of flowers. And whether that happened or not, what we do know is that people came out of that experience and they said that his sense of understanding of the belief in the human ability to persevere, his belief that the arc of the universe did ultimately bend toward justice, that kept those folks from other faith traditions going in those times. Ultimately, again, like so many we remember these days, he was put to death in the gas chamber. But even before he died, he said something to the effect of, "Blow, ye evil winds, my soul you will never unravel." We know these are difficult times. We may not have Nazi guards stationed at our doors, but many of us have been concerned about the creeping authoritarianism in our country and in the world for that matter, and we see the dangers that are potentially there. And so we are cautious these days in some ways. We recognize that history has a pattern of repetition, especially if people remain unaware and get complacent. So as we do this ritual this morning, and it is a beautiful ritual, it's one of beauty, it's one of joy, it's one of celebration, it's one of community, as we have been celebrating community this morning with the participation of multiple generations and people at various points of their life's journey, as we do this ritual this morning, I want you to tap into the sense of joy and community and beauty, the fact that each of these flowers represents someone who makes a difference to our lives by being part of our community right here. But I also don't want you to forget that with this beauty comes courage and resilience and the strength that is found deep within any human being when we are willing to mine for it and hold it and nurture one another on this journey. I invite you to come forward now, as people have been doing for over 100 years with this ritual, with recognition of all that it holds. And as you take a flower this morning, may that flower be not just that picture of beautiful perfection offered by nature, but also a reminder of the strength that is found, the miracle that is found under the surface of any simple thing, under any flower, any human being. You may come forward.